Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There are laws at work in the spiritual universe, laws that can neither be debated nor circumvented. We may claim freedom from the law as believers, thinking we can do as we please. But God has a word for those of us who feel this way, a word brought to us by the Apostle Paul. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a six-part series on what happens when God comes to church, taken from 1 Thessalonians. We're finding out that when God comes, the church is holy. This means running from sins that can damage us for life.
So you see, what we need to do is to deal decisively with this. Whatever God asks you to do. Jesus said, in effect, do whatever you just have to do. Just do it. Deal with it. You say, well, I've invested so much in the direction I'm going, I can't even begin to think that I can pull out. With God's help, you can. Very recently, this letter appeared and was sent to me, and I want to read it to you. Pastor Lutzer, I'd like to share my story with you. It's a story that began in pain, fear, shame, deceit, and brokenness, but it ends in forgiveness, hope, and renewal. Started a few years ago when I fell into internet pornography. I've been a Christian for many years, and I knew I was hurting Christ and my witness through my sin, but even though I knew it was wrong, the thrill outweighed the guilt. Thanks to my excellent computer skills, I was able to keep it a secret. So for the past 2 years, I was struggling with this issue. I'd go without pornography sometimes for a week or two and then fall back into old habits. I constantly asked Christ for forgiveness, and yet I'd go right back. Outside, I looked like an ideal husband and father and probably a good Christian, and yet inside, I was in my own personal hell. No matter how hard I tried to stop, I would crumble under the pressure. Even though I felt a genuine shame for my actions, the shame was easily engulfed by fear that was in my heart. I was convinced that I could not come forward with my sin. I thought that my wife would leave me and maybe take the kids away. So while the devil kept feeding my heart with fear, he also kept giving me a false sense of confidence that I could keep the secret and nobody would be hurt. What was initially a secret thrill turned into something I just ended up doing because I could. I tried filling my life with other activities, anything to keep me away from the computer, but these were just temporary diversions, and I kept going back to my sinful behavior. A few months ago, my wife came to me asking me if I had looked at pornography. For all of my sneakiness on the computer, I had forgotten one location that was not cleaned up, and she happened to see it. When she approached me, my life flashed before me, and I decided to finally come clean and face my worst fears. I had always believed that looking at pornography was the real sin, but what really hurt my wife were the lies, the deceit, and the complete disregard of her feelings. There had been a few times in the recent past where she asked me if I was viewing pornography, and each time I answered her no. I convinced her that I was above such a simple sin. But now, as I finally answered her every question with honesty, not only was I showing her how sinful I had been, but I was clearly telling her, "You can't trust me." He said I wanted to crawl under a rock and die. That night, as I was telling her my darkest secrets, a strong feeling filled my heart and mind. Now I was beginning to see how pornography had taken a complete hold of my life and how it was tearing my life and my marriage apart. I realized that I wanted to be rid of it all. I did not want it to be in my life anymore. I know that God was working in me that night, and He wanted to provide me with true deliverance. To the surprise of my wife, I told her that I would confess my sin to our pastor. After barely sleeping that night, I drove to our church the next day to meet with him. As I told him all the sordid details, he quoted scripture and explained that I wasn't the first Christian man to fall into this temptation, or woman, I might add. After much praying and tears, I renounced the demon of pornography. I cannot explain it in words, but at that moment, I finally felt true cleansing. I had hope, and even though I did not know what to expect at home, I felt better as a Christian than I had in years. That night, my wife and I continued to share, talking, crying together for hours. We saw revelations of how my struggle with pornography was a battle of spiritual warfare that caused unrest in our house. For months, my wife had been plagued by the spirit of fear during times when she should have been happy. It was plain to see that my sin was not only permeating into all areas of my life, but it was also unwittingly rubbing off on her. My sorrow was so overwhelming that I broke down in tears several times. I wanted true deliverance. And as a burn victim must endure the pain of having the dead skin peeled away before healing can begin and new skin can grow, the same went for me. To be truly free, I had to lay it all out, no more lies. Again, I told her how sorry I was, and she told me that she would forgive me. She could see that I was broken, humbled, humiliated, and desperate for forgiveness and restoration. Once again, the tears freely flowed, this time not in pain, but because I had fully experienced God's redeeming love and forgiveness. The stain of pornography was washed away. These past 3 months have been incredible. God did such a mighty work in my life that I haven't had a single urge to view pornography. So many images that I had scarred, that had scarred my mind, have been washed away. How is that possible except for the power of Christ? My wife and I are closer than we've been in many years. I've never imagined that I would have this level of intimate communication with my wife after what I had done. I look forward to my devotions each day, eager to see what God will teach me. I've also had the opportunity to briefly share my story with a fellow colleague, a single, non-Christian man, who's clearly at a crossroads in his own life. I can't believe all that has taken place, and it's all because of Jesus. Looking back, it's hard to believe the amount of time and energy I wasted not only surfing pornography, but trying to keep it a secret. What a pathetic life I was living, trying to act like a Christian husband and father on the outside, yet on the inside, barely behaving like a man. How I wish that I had made my own decision to come forward with my sin. I regret that my fear overpowered my desire to be free. I have been scarred by my sin, but my scars are now a reminder that I am winning a battle, that I do not have to be a slave to the flesh. There's a world of difference between being a male, well, this is critical. There's a world of difference between being a male and being a man. I am a man once again, taking control of my life, my thoughts, my actions for the glory of Christ, for the glory of my family. By his grace, I will no longer succumb to the easy desires of the flesh, for I was bought by Christ's precious blood. Christ's death has given me life once again, and I will not waste my life any longer. What a letter. Where do you go from here? 1974, my wife and I and a couple, northern Wisconsin, middle of winter, were on our way to a restaurant. They thought they knew where the restaurant was. They were new up there. They thought they knew. Here it is in the evening. It's dark. That night it was to get below zero. And we begin to drive. And after 5-6 miles, they realize they're on the wrong road. The big Buick was going into the snow. No one had traveled this road in days. And it was clear we were going nowhere and we were going to get stuck. The question was, what do you do? Nobody would know where to look for us. There were no cell phones in those days. Well, we figured out a way by which we could turn around when we came to a side road. It was difficult. We'd jack up the car and put branches under the back wheels so that we could go a few feet. We kept doing this over and over again until eventually we turned around. That night I learned something, that when you're on the wrong trail, you lose time that can never be regained. We lost time that night. In fact, my wife and I have never yet been to that restaurant. It's true. We learned something else. The ruts that we leave can mislead others. We don't know it was the case, but someone else could have taken the trail because they said, oh, a car's been here. This must go somewhere. David in the Old Testament, when he committed adultery, he was able to get back to God, but his kids didn't. Your ruts may mislead others. We learned also that the mistake can't be corrected by going on adjacent roads. And the bottom line is this: there never is or was a convenient time to turn around. If you're saying to yourself, well, I want to live differently, but this is not the time to turn around, there never is a convenient time to turn around. Today is the best time to turn around. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and by yieldedness and the cleansing of Jesus. And let me say that Jesus is adequate for your sin. Did you know that? His forgiveness, his cleansing, the power of the Spirit. He had you in mind when he died. Your sin is not bigger than his grace and his forgiveness. Why doesn't he just deliver us when we try to do it privately? Well, the answer is that God wants the humility of brokenness. And he uses brothers and sisters and wives and husbands in the process of healing us and restoring us. You can get into the ditch alone, but you need help in getting out. And so the bottom line is from God's holy word, for God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. We've been called. When God comes, the church is holy.
Well, my friend, today I am so glad to be able to share with you the fact that the ministry of Running to Win goes around the world. As a matter of fact, right now we are in Arabic, Russian, Turkish, Portuguese, and Spanish, sharing the good news of the gospel because of partners just like you. If you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to help us, here's what I'd like to do. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? I sure hope that you have a pen or pencil handy, because I'm going to be giving you some contact info. You can go to offerrtw.com. Now, offerrtw is, of course, all one word. offerrtw.com, or you can pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-215-5001. The ministry of Running to Win exists to bring glory to God through the transformation of lives. And you, my friend, are our partners. Thank you very much.
Next time on Running to Win, we'll find that when God comes to church, the church is watchful. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. When God Comes to Church can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.